you ever talk that way to me?
Never! Never! What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you may.
All about fire.
Yeah, what we have here.
I can't believe that. It brought back old memories there, and I still remember Cool Hand Luke like it was yesterday, him eating all those eggs in prison. And
Yeah. That was from, what year was that? Do you know?
Oh, God.
1967.
Wow.
I was three.
Yeah, 1967. But see, we must have, saw, reruns or something. Because I remember from maybe, late 70s or something like that. Just incredible. I still remember some of those lines out of the movie, is unbelievable. And I have to say, that is what I really hate most about watching, 10 movies in a row as I'm flying to China because they all blend into each other. You don't even remember what you watched. They just keep going and going. You don't even know. So I really have to write them down and try and get some of these lines back. I guess my short-term memory is getting bad.
The reason that one stuck out in my head and I put that together was because when I left Fargo, when last we saw each other in Fargo, on the 5th, and you were in the back in the warehouse mumbling to yourself as you often do because you're probably upset with some of your workers or whatever. No. But you were saying that what we have here is failure to communicate. What was your problem?
Well, I'm sure it was one of the 16-year-olds that worked for me because working with 16-year-olds and I have to say God bless them because they did work long hours and they really did try their best. But it's almost like playing with a puppy. They're full of energy and then all of a sudden they just fall out regardless of what time of day or anything it is. And then you have to get them back up and throw the ball again and get them all playing and they forget they're tired and they go back into it. So.
Right. But you were just talking to yourself. You were mumbling. You were just what we have here is failure to communicate.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, John, I got to remember that for next time.
Yeah. And I like that when it said, some men you just can't reach, which is, why I'm going to apologize right now to our listeners that this probably will be a pyro podcast that has nothing to do with pyro because we have not talked in so long that we have so much catching up to do that I'm afraid we might not get any pyro stuff in. But we probably will, just a little bit.
We have a whole agenda here of pyro.
But I just hope they don't get too excited to hear about pyro because it just may not happen. We're just not feeling pyro after this whole thing is over. And, again, we've always decided it's not over until it's over. But I officially am waving the white flag. It's over.
Yeah. Well, failure to communicate, that's always important in business, I think.
Yeah.
You either, if you're communicating, like we're doing here, we're trying to communicate with other people, and whether you communicate on your radio ads or in the newspaper, you're communicating with your employees or whatever. That's one of the most important things about owning a business or in the banking industry or wherever, any industry, anything really, you need to communicate.
Yeah. So, and when you don't communicate, when communication fails, it just really pisses you off.
And what we have here is failure. Yeah. Failure to communicate.
And like I said, this is what happened last week here. So, yeah, it's been a challenge this 4th of July season, but sorry to say that it's pretty much officially over after the last PGI convention, which officially closes the door basically,
Right.
Even though there's that new one coming up in Kingsport, Tennessee, but the PGI is almost like a recap of 4th of July with all those crazy pyros and everybody's buying stuff, So it's it's over.
Let's put our music on then.
Oh yeah.
Johnny Rockstar.
Yeah.
Is gone.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a rock star anymore.
No. I can just live vicariously through this video.
Well, you could be Chad Kroeger. Chad Kroeger is the singer for Nickelback.
Oh, okay.
And he's got some issues.
I got a very funny story to tell you that happened to me last night. Every now and then let me
turn this down.
Every now and then I make the mistake of every now and then I have nothing to do and stuff, so I decided to meet my dad and his friends, because I don't really get out too much on Friday nights, and when I do, I decided to go meet them, and I kind of told them that I'm choosing to spend my Friday night with you guys because the next time we may see each other, I will probably be drinking. They may not be, you know, right. At 80 years old, you never know how much time they have. So next time we meet, I said, it could be weekend at Bernie's, you know.
Right.
So we're talking about, Cabo San Lucas, of course, and, everything going on. And then we start talking about, different celebrities I've had the pleasure of meeting down there and some that I just met in Put-in Bay. So anyways, I told one of my dad's friends, I says, I have a picture of me and Gene Simmons, but Gene Simmons is such a big, huge guy that the picture is really bad of me because I'm trying to, do a selfie with my short arms and get his big body and try and get me in the picture. Also, would have just been him in the picture.
Yeah, you're trying to get taller and he's trying to get shorter.
And he wasn't about to bow down to me, and I don't blame him, but, it was tough.
Right.
So anyways, and, my dad's getting hard of hearing, and, of course, the drinking doesn't help, and the other guy's definitely hard of hearing, and, drinking doesn't help him either. So I'm showing the picture to my dad's one friend that's probably the most coherent and hears the best. And he says, oh, my God, there's Gene Simmons, And then the other guy says, I don't know him. And the other guy says, no, you know him. You know Gene Simmons. He's like, no, I've never seen this guy before. He's like, you're used to seeing him in costume. And he says, I go to Costco. I've never seen him. And I couldn't stop laughing because, like, I've never seen him in Costco. I'm in Costco three times, going on and on about Costco,
I've never seen this guy in Costco.
And we're laughing hysterically. He's like, I'm telling you, I've never seen him. I'm there all the time. And I'm like, oh my God, And then it reminded me of the time when my friends and I were in Hong Kong, and one guy comes down and says, I could really use a nap again. And then my friend throws him a napkin across the table.
Uh-huh.
And then my other friend says, I'll have a nightcap, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, it just goes to show you that I got to get some younger friends.
we have to get older quickly, or we have to get younger friends.
Oh, my God,
I golfed horribly, but I golfed on Thursday with some older gentlemen, and, we were in the cart, me and this guy I'd never met before, and he's older, much older than me, and, he literally could barely hit it past the ladies' tees every time, which was brutal. But so we start talking, and he said that somebody got into his house. He has a house in Wisconsin or something, and they stole his guitars. And I was like, oh, and so I figured, well, here's my in. I could start talking about guitars with this guy. So I said, oh, what kind of guitars you got? He's like, a couple acoustic guitars. And I was like, so what kind of music do you like? I'm picturing he's going to say the Beatles or even, something like that. And he says, Gordon Lightfoot.
Really?
Yeah, so I was like, yeah.
Was he like a sailor?
I don't know. I was like, man, I need to get younger friends because, the only thing I know about Gordon Lightfoot is Lake Gitchagumi.
Well, isn't Gordon Lightfoot the one that sang the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah, Lake Gitchagumi. He's just a folk singer. And I was like, I was at least hoping you'd say Foo Fighters or something, but I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing to do with it.
And I'm not even sure if I even know what the brain freeze here. I don't even know if I even know any other songs by Gordon Lightfoot.
That's the only one. That's his one-hit wonder. Yeah. Everybody
and I haven't even heard the term folk singer.
Well, he's a folk singer.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, in my mind, folk singer is like Bob Dylan or even Bruce Springsteen Bruce Springsteen's more rock, but he's more folk singer. But either way, it was just I got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to hang out with younger people.
Well, yesterday, pure example, I had the pleasure of going to the Cubs game, actually taking a friend of mine to the Cubs game.
You're with a bunch of young drunken people.
No, just one other.
The whole stadium is a bunch of young drunken people.
And, the seats were great, sixth row. I'm looking at all these players, and I'm like right there, sixth row, and is awesome. But, and I will admit that the closer you get to the state to the field, you actually do get a little more into the game.
Well, yeah.
But you know, once again,
coming
I know
from
nothing
you, yeah.
about baseball. In fact, I think I said, "Wow, it's 7-2." And he's like, "No, it's 3-2." I'm like, "Oh," and then I looked in a whole together different area when he pointed. I go, "Oh yeah, well yeah, my eyes are really going." You know? But
was
that
it
new
like seven
that
hits?
New scoreboard, well, yeah, it was crazy with these seven hits or whatever.
Wrigley Field is what was wrong.
I think this left side went out on me.
The left side went out on you,
yeah.
Or turn the other way. Turn your head the other way. No, take the headphone off for a second, and we might need a new battery.
Here,
turn, take the headphone off. Is it blinking? Is the light blinking on the other side?
No, it's white, red light.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's push the.
Oh, I'll push that thing in there. Maybe.
Push the thing in harder. Is that better?
Yeah, I think I'm hearing okay.
Now you're all right now.
Yeah,
all
right,
yeah, we're back.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, and we're Wrigley Field. You know, they just got into the 20th century now with all those scoreboards and stuff. And you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at these things. I'm looking all over the place. I finally found where the radar gun for the pitches, because that does interest me. You know, 92, a couple 81s. You know,
yeah.
So, anyways, the game was it was good, but you know, once again, I had to watch out of the corner of my eye, and I stood up when he stood up, and I cheered when he cheered.
Well, there you go.
And you know, my cheers are always like a few seconds delay than everybody else, because I don't even know
what's going on.
We don't even know we're about to cheer,
yeah.
And then we're all standing up. I had no idea that we're standing up because we're trying to get the last out because the Cubs win. I still thought, you know, and the bottom of the inning and the top of the inning has always screwed me up. I would think that the bottom of the inning is the end.
It's the end of the inning, yeah.
Or may I have that reversed?
No,
okay,
the top of the inning is when the
That's what it is.
That's
I think
the start.
Yeah, I think the top of the inning is the end of the inning because it's at the top. But you know, so
it's the bottom. Yeah, the bottom. Well, the top of the inning is when the visitors bat, and then the home team bats at the bottom of the inning.
Yeah,
you let the other team go first.
So you know, it's just really you know, I mean, if I had my choice between that and you know, watching paint dry or actually what really, you know, watching like little fresh grass seed growing into little grass, I think is probably more exciting. But anyways, I did take a nice walk around the Clark Street and saw all those nice bars. I did go to the Cubby Bear, and it was like crazy because it's like 6 o'clock in the evening and people are like, mm-hmm. at Cubby Bear dancing to loud music like it was 10, 11 o'clock at night. You know, they're just
that's Wrigley Field for Wrigleyville.
Wrigleyville. So yeah, it was really quite interesting. And then $45 to park the car was pretty bad. So when I went with my dad last night and he got his check for $44 and he's like, "Oh my God, I want to start staying home. Look at this, it's $44." I'm like, "I paid a dollar more just to park my car. I didn't even get any windshield solvent.
What?
You had countless amounts of drinks.
What
and
did he get
popcorn.
A check for $44 for?
Last night when we were, you know, when we were at the bar and bought the drinks.
Oh, he got the tab.
Yeah, he got the tab and it was $44. Yeah. And I'm like, and he's like complaining it's so expensive. I'm like, I spent $45 to park a car and I didn't even get any windshield solvent. I didn't even wash the windows. Nothing.
No. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to tip them because I know that lot is like theirs and
I'm gonna tip you.
So
well, you should go to a Bears game. It's $100, $50, $75.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Which I would love to see a Bears game if they would actually just play in the summertime. I mean, who's gonna sit out there with hand warmers and blankets?
Well, no, yeah. Well, I usually go for a preseason game. I'm actually going September 3rd.
But some of those preseason games could be a little nippy.
September 3rd.
Yeah, September 3rd is not too bad.
Yeah. It'll be fine. But the Cubs right now are the hot one. That's what everybody's.
Yeah, and I was so glad because you know Dino would have blamed it on me if they lost. Because you know I go see a game and I never go, and then all of a sudden they would lose.
Dino, he's you know. Yeah. He still doesn't like the Bison winning so much. So
no, he's got a problem with winning teams, I guess. So it was a good game.
Cubs game is always good. I was there about a week and a half ago, but I was in a skybox. You were out of town. I was going to invite you.
Yeah,
yeah. We had the bank I work for has a skybox there, but it's you know. But I actually got lucky, and I had a parking pass, but it was like. Again, it's Wrigley Field. The Cubs, they have parking, and it was not, literally on top of a roof. I was on the roof of a building, you know, and I went to get my car. I'm walking through, like, this abandoned building and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's crazy. I'm actually going there, going to Wrigley on Saturday to see a concert. So imagine how crowded it was to see a baseball game. Now add probably about another 10,000 people because you put people on the grass.
Yeah.
It's going to be a zoo. And it's at night, so the game, the concert starts at 5 and ends at 10, 10:30, 11. That neighborhood's just going to
be... Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't want to drive there, but... How do you even get a cab out of there?
Yeah, I actually like having the concerts at Wrigley Field. I think that is actually more exciting to me than I'm going next week.
To see you
as well.
Oh, you're going to see Bill Joel the day after mine.
I'm going Thursday.
Oh, so Foo Fighters is Saturday.
Yeah, and nice. So yeah, so it should be good. But I actually like that, and I did go see a concert last year at Out South Stadium. Was that? Oh, that was I think the where the Bears play. I think that's
Soldier Field.
Soldier Field. Yeah, I saw a concert at Soldier Field last year, and I thought that was more exciting than actually seeing the game. Of course, during the summer, and I like the summer.
Uh-huh.
But Wrigleyville is really that area is fantastic. I mean, just everybody was crazy, and those bars are just hopping. And
it used to be you could drop a bomb in there and nobody would know.
Yeah, and I still think that's kind of how it is in the wintertime. But although it is changing a little bit. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about pyro. Let's do a pyro purge. 4th of July recap. So it's all over. The PGI was over and everything else. So what happened? Any surprises 4th of July? Was it as you expected?
Yeah, it was pretty much as I expected. Business was a little bit up, but the late containers really hurt the inventory. I mean, that just added to the inventory, which I did not want to add to. I wanted to take away from it, and instead I added to it. But all in all, it was a pretty good year, I thought, and it actually did go off pretty smooth, with that whole new register system and everything. I was a little bit worried about that.
Right, yeah, and, it went fine.
It did work out good, and we passed on your recommendations to those people in charge of that system. So that worked out good. PGI...
let's go back to the other stuff. I mean, what sold the best? You know what? I noticed you had one thing where you had a deal where you were selling three cakes for like $99.
Yeah,
right. And I was like, how the heck can you make money on that? And your answer was basically that China sent you like too much. That they sent you more than you ordered, so you were passing on the savings to the customer.
Oh yeah,
does that happen all the time?
It's been happening a lot lately
just trying to overstuff you, or
well, because of my generosity and the fact that some of these factories don't want to make small quantities.
Uh-huh.
So then my agent is forced to buy bigger quantities, and then he just ships it to me and says, well, you know, if you sell them, pay for it. If you don't, you know. But I don't like to do that because I really want to get my bill and get it paid and move on. I don't like carrying balances over.
They'll just bill you next year then.
Yeah, or put it on, and it's just
right
like a revolving balance. I really don't like that. I like to know where I stand and
start
fresh.
Do they charge you interest?
No.
Oh, that's good.
So when you get... a bigger shipment like that, you might want to just try and – I don't want to use the term blow it out because I'm not going to lose money on it, and I'm not going to trade dollars for dollars because that's not good for business. You know what I mean? So we just do the best we can.
It was deeply discounted, but the people were loving it. I mean, people would come in and say, hey, I got $100 to spend or whatever, and, what can I get? And you would, point them to that, and they would get three big, huge cakes.
Yeah, and those three particular cakes are really
sellers.
Paired up really nice. Yeah, they're really good sellers. So it actually worked out pretty good.
You had Under Pressure, right?
Under Pressure and Panic in the Streets.
And Panic in the Streets. Yeah. Those are three great cakes, and people are like, they're like, really? For 100? I can get that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But you do that all the time.
Yeah, so we do a lot of different sales like that, a lot of different things to kind of get people in the door. And, you know, of course, that's save coin stuff and, stuff like that.
Still having problems, issues?
Yeah, it is. It reminds me of it probably looks like a dog. I'm turning my head and back and forth.
We could do a commercial and come back.
I'm not hearing this one.
We can get you a different headphone.
All right, let's do a commercial and we'll be right back.
Hold on one second.
This morning show proudly presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Not Sure If His M80 Still Lit.
Mr. Not Sure If His M80 Still Lit.
There you sit, hopped up on Jack Daniels, staring at your lifeless explosive, wondering if it's safe to pick up and light again.
Firework dilemma.
You could grab another one out of the bag, but that would be admitting defeat in front of your entire trailer court audience.
in the redneck spotlight.
Your two remaining fingers are begging you to wait. But the booze says pick it up, Nancy boy, or be demoted to the snake and sparkler division.
Bottom of the ladder now.
So go ahead, approach the smoldering explosive face first. Put your trust in the safety-conscious personnel at the Black Cat Assembly Plant. Because after all, if God had intended for you to keep all of your fingers, why would he have given you two sets?
Mr. Not Sure If His M80 Still Lit.
Wow, that worked perfect.
That's actually perfect timing. Yeah, yes.
Look at that. I could have gotten that. So, So at the end of the day, you know, they load you up a little bit, but you pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, pass it on to them, and it seemed to work out pretty good, and everybody was happy. And, you know, just going into the, not so much this 2016 4th of July, but the 2017, 18, and 19, I'm going to really try and curtail that a lot because I don't want to get stuck with over merchandise in kind of what I call lean years with the way the 4th of July falls on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we're going to have to really be careful on those years and watch our ordering not to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What about any best sellers or worst sellers? What went well? What did you sell more of and what did you not sell enough of?
Well, obviously, I think the 500 grams were way up this year again.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It just seems that people are realizing how good they are, and they're pulling away from reloadables every year. You know, every year, my customers are getting older, and the older you get, it just seems like you're not as interested in reloadables because it's too much work. Mm-hmm. And then you're seeing how nice the 500-gram cakes are and the height we're getting out of them, and it just seems like more and more people are saying, a little bit less reloadables, less reloadables, less reloadables, and then more cakes. And then because we had such a great selection of 200-gram cakes, I mean, we really maximized all of our sales because of the quantity and the products we had. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't for a few of those late containers coming in, it would probably have been a much better year because we could have got more merchandise out to the customer before they canceled, right, or before we had to ship it. So
that's the wholesale. So overall, yeah, wholesale was
Wholesale was up, but wholesale probably could have been up by about another 20% had we had more stuff in earlier.
More stuff.
Yeah.
The people just go on to someone else to get it? Or?
Well, they'll just tell us, just ship what you have then, you know, and then because they got time to put on their shelves and get it skewed in, and they don't want to be rushed around last minute like I am.
Right.
You know, and
you basically take the headache away out of it for everybody else. You absorb the headache. Like John Malin, when we had him on here, and he said basically, you know, you're the guy who you don't have to pay for storage. You store it for everybody, and China loads you up, and, you know, unfortunately, if they can't get it to you on time.
Yeah, and that was really a big thing. Yeah.
Once again.
And, yeah, I mean, when I get to China, and they're very non-confrontational, and so am I, but when we get to China, I'm going to have some serious talks because I'm like, this can't keep on going because this is not like the Cubs. See, my business is not like the Cubs.
Right.
I can't keep waiting to next year. You know what I mean?
Right.
At some point, I would like to take a profit. You know?
It's been 106 years.
Yeah,
for the Cubs,
and I'm not going to go that route. You know, there's not that much time, Michael.
Right. I like the way the Cubs always complain that they're broke. You know what I mean? But the way they do their accounting, they're not broke. You got 35,000 people there every day buying drinks and T-shirts.
The way I do my accounting, we're broke. but money's overrated anyways. You really don't need it until you have to go buy something.
Well, it's only something you need if you don't die tomorrow. That's it's fine. So, you'll be fine. So the wholesale was okay, but it could have been better.
Yeah, yeah.
How was it compared to last year? About the same?
No, it was up a little bit from last year, but we were really looking for a bigger increase due to the Saturday. So, you know, Saturday, 4th of July. And it would have been based on the orders we had in-house, it would have been a lot better if we could have just shipped everything that they ordered.
Right.
I mean, of course, some of the customers, you know, obviously we try and move them into something else, but there are some items that you just can't switch them into because there's nothing to replace some of these staple items or some of these assortments. You know,
Dino can't just work his Dino charm and get them to go to something else?
No. The Dino charm, unfortunately, is more like, hey, if you don't like it,
too bad. Go somewhere else.
John is the one that, runs in to save the day and says, wait a minute, I think we can do this instead, you know, and make some last-minute phone calls and try and grab something from someone else. You know what I mean?
Retail, going off of wholesale, retail, it was pretty much business as usual.
Yeah.
I think you and I talked about it. It's like you've hit a point where you can expect almost the same thing every year. For the first few years when you were at the old location, it was tough because we didn't have the infrastructure. We didn't have the ability to handle all those people. Now it almost seems like we're not working as hard, but we are. We're doing just as much, but it's easier because all the planning and all the preparation and what goes into
it. And that's really what
all the communication
is what it's all about. And you know, like whenever I hear Dino complain about, you know, they all come in at once or it's just, I go, yeah, that's not going to change. So that's what the whole preparation is all about.
Right.
The whole year as we're waiting for 4th of July to come closer, it's all about the preparation, making it look easier than it is for us.
Right. You know? Right. That's the point. Make it look easier than it is.
And I think what I did in the warehouse with basically three 16-year-olds and a 20-year-old, I mean, and not missing a beat, I mean, that just shows that the more you plan, the more you have your equipment working and everything palletized and everything up to par, you can, you know, it's amazing. I could have easily handled more.
Uh-huh.
And I thought at one time I don't think I could handle any more based with the help I have. And we could have easily handled more. And if I would have had really experienced help, like my earlier crews, you know, that before they graduated college, we would have been like just sweeping the floors at the end going, wow, what are we waiting for? You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's gotta be the toughest part. I mean, and not only, you know, managing inventory and all that other stuff, but it's making sure that you have the right people there to help you. But I mean, you know, from what I saw, those kids were just young, but it wasn't from lack of trying.
They worked
their butts off.
They really did. Yeah. And you know, to me, any 16-year-old working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, is more than I've seen any of these 16-year-olds do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing a lot more than my nephews are doing, that's for sure.
Yeah,
so I my hat's off to them. And they actually did and I brought those two of them to the PGI. And, you know, once again, them
kids, oh, which two?
Brady and Jeffrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they worked hard again, despite it was, like, so hot there, you know, and... And, you know, I told Jeffrey, the only reason you're coming is we need somebody thin to climb over the pallets in between the top of the trailer, you know.
Well,
so
it ain't going to be Dean.
And it ain't going to be Brady, which they nicknamed him Braddy at the
– Braddy? Wow.
Braddy. Yeah, just one of the girls that works here. It's like, come over here, Braddy, you know, like, you know. So it was pretty funny.
I like Brady. Brady's a good kid.
Yeah, they really did a good job. And
yeah, he's not going to slink around anymore. He's like a fire plug. He's a football player.
No, and they were commenting how, you know, at the PGI, how I never sit down and they're all sitting around and I'm like standing up and I keep doing my toe lifts, you know, on my legs, you know, and like, well, I go, that's why the calves are so big, because I don't sit down. I keep moving.
You do have massive calves. Yeah, I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I just, you know, they, and I'm like, you too could have these if you get up, you know. So, but yeah, no, they had a very good time, and I do like their personalities. They're a lot of fun, and it's fun to be have a good time, and so it actually worked out good. They did a good job.
Well, good. Yeah, I mean, last year you had Steve and Dino and somebody else. Did they join you too? And you had extra help?
Just Steve and Dino was there last year, and then we had myself and Keegan.
Somebody else.
Keegan was last there
year?
Last year.
I must have missed him. Yeah. He must have come later.
And. And then we had, I know we had a couple people Chris, my buddy Chris from Chicago was with us. Real muscle-bound guy, you know. So this year we brought Clint, Jeffrey, and Brady, then Steve, and myself, and Dino. So
you had quite a crew, yeah.
Yeah, we always do a crew of six, because it's the last day that you really need everybody. You know, you got to pack everything up and... And so it worked out pretty good.
So how was that location? How was the hotel, everything? I mean, in Mason City, Iowa was kind of cool. I enjoyed it, but, you know, it was like it's like a, for lack of better words, it's like a trailer park with fireworks.
Yeah, this location was, is great if for shooting big shells. Very slow convention for people. In fact,
was that because of location?
Yeah, location. Nobody wanted to go out that far west. And, I think in 2008 we had 20 vendors. In 2015 we had six vendors. Let me see. Three, four, five, six. There was eight total vendors. two came very late in the end of the week because they couldn't get their merchandise up there in time. So they started late. And the thing ends Friday at 1 a.m. in the morning. And everybody closed up on Thursday, and there was only four vendors open Friday. And, of course, I'm going to be open all the way to the end.
Well, right. You're there. You might as well.
And a lot of people just brought less merchandise and be like, oh, there's going to be less people. They just weren't into it. But, of course, Star Fireworks always accommodating the customer.
Well, right.
You know, brings
well, if you're
in,
gonna do it, do
yeah,
it. You
brings
well do
in
it.
A whole bunch of stuff and maximize sales, and we won't run out of anything. So it worked out really good. We surpassed our numbers from last year, which was a much better convention. And next year is going to be a great convention in LaPorte, Indiana.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And
that
once again,
close.
We're going
to
bring even more and take up more spaces. And you know, it's just it's awesome. So
yeah.
I mean, they you know people don't realize just you know when you want.
But it's far.
You know,
if it was far, Gillette, Wyoming is far.
I had no idea how far it was because I flew to North Dakota and then I drove from North Dakota, me and Clint in the white van, and I had no idea how far it was when I wanted to head back to Chicago, but. 14 hours and 37 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so how far of a drive was it from North Dakota?
About 8.5 hours.
Yeah, so yeah. And it's like 9 hours from Chicago.
Well, you know how, like, you know, when you're driving, you don't know different routes or whatever. And I just had no idea that, you know, I was almost, you know, traveling to Florida.
And, well, you could have traveled to Florida probably.
And then this next one in Kingsport, Tennessee. Now, if you leave from Fargo, North Dakota to go to Kingsport, Tennessee, this is a really far.
Yeah. From here, it's probably 9 hours.
Yeah, so here it's not too bad.
From Chicago.
And Dino's already said, well, you know what I'll do? I'll come to Chicago like 5 days earlier, you know, always with his, you know, vacation schedule, like putting everything in, like, you know, because, you know, I don't want to drive all that way, so I'll come to Chicago 5 days earlier. You know, it's like leaving Hawaii and then stopping in Las Vegas for a layover. I mean, you know.
it's Dino.
A 14-hour layover. Yeah. You know, it's like, really? What? It's more aggravation to get a cab and try and go to try your luck at the casino and get, you know, how that makes the trip easier, I really don't know. But, you know, so anyways, yeah, how driving from, you know, Fargo then stopping in Chicago for 5 days and then going to Kingsport, Tennessee is going to make this any life any easier? I don't know.
No,
but
it's not.
So, and then we also have to bring someone else with Dino, so that means that person's got to stay an extra 4 or 5 days as well. So that's fun for him, I guess. But
did Dino behave at the PGA this year?
Yeah, for the most part, he behaved pretty good. Of course, there's not like much trouble you can get yourself into when you got, you know, three underage people with you. So, you know.
So he was actually like a role model?
No, God, I wouldn't say that. But, of course, the feature of going to a bar at the end of the convention is not going to happen because, A, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and then, B, there's, you know, nobody can drink. So we just wound up going back to the pool and sitting in a hot tub and doing some swimming and kind of fun stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
But it's a lot different than having the house. And I did not know this, but I was told this, and this is all news to me. I've always said that I wouldn't mind doing the camping thing, you know, just rent a camper and do the camping thing. But as I look out at all those campers, I realize that I have nothing to go with the camper. I have no lawn chairs. I have no barbecue grill. I have no tables, no awnings. I have nothing. I mean, so we would be stuck in a little camper, six people, and we can't even eat outside because we have nothing to sit on. And then, of course, a couple of kids said, no, we got all kinds of lawn chairs you could borrow, and we got barbecue grill. And so I'm like, that wouldn't be a bad idea. But then what I found out, which I thought was really interesting, was that they actually brought the camper onto the site, set it all up, and you checked into it just like you check into a hotel. And then at the end, you just clean up your mess, and you leave. And then the camper people, whoever they are, come back out and put all the hoses away and
like
clean
one,
everything
one-stop
up.
One-stop shop.
And it was like $90 a night. Now, of course, I don't know what it was to pay for the campground spot, but the actual camper was $90 a night, which to me, once again, I'd rather have all the people in one room or one area having fun and laughing and joking than you two go to your room, you two go to your room. It's just a pain for me. I just think it's more, you know. So I was very excited about that.
So it was like a turnkey operation. You just get there and you get in your camper and you go your way, the way you go.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, these are one of these tow behind ones, so I figured, well, you know, I have to probably borrow a pickup from somebody, and yeah, I'd have to borrow a pickup, and then depending on, you know, if it's a fifth wheel, you know, then you need that special device in the back. So it can be a little bit, you know, different. But of course, everyone in Fargo has pickup trucks that, you know, so that wouldn't be a bad problem. But then when I found out that they actually delivered it right to site, hooked everything up, because, you know, it's, I don't know about the hoses. I mean, I knew about the boating was enough for me, you know, just hooking the water up and then the cable line up and, you know, and then the electricity. But this is a whole new ball game, too, with the pump out and everything. But I was really, I thought, this is really, so we may do that if we don't get the lake house in, if we don't get the lake house in LaPorte, then we'll probably may just do the camper thing.
Well, but I get what you say, because it is more fun when you go on vacation if you all get together. When we used to, we go to Cabo San Lucas the first year we stayed in a hotel, but then after that, the next few years, we rented a house. And what I like about it was, you know, we would do our thing during the day. Some of us go golf and some of us go deep sea fishing, whatever. And then we would all go out to the drink and dinner and shows and bars at night. But we would all inevitably come home at night. We would all get home at the same time. And then we would all just, you know, get in our bathing suits, go in the hot tub and talk. And you enjoy it more. But if somebody's going to their room and then you're just sitting in your room, I could be doing this at home.
Yeah.
You know, and the best story came of that. You know, the best stories come from that when you're sitting in the pool, you know, at night talking. I remember one time we had one of our buddies and he had met a girl while he was out there. And I didn't see her, but a couple of the other guys saw her, and they saw our buddy with her, and you know, and then we're in the hot tub at night talking, and the one buddy who had found the girl, you know, he had said, "Yeah, you saw the girl I was with. What did you think? She was really hot, right?" And then the other guy looks him right in the face and says, "Dude, don't make me lie." Yeah. You know, he's like, "I like you too much, man. Don't make me lie. She was apparently hideous." Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, stuff like that where you don't get that because you're all in your room together at night. And then you don't know, like in the morning, somebody gets up and leaves or going for coffee and you can't find them or whatever. Yeah. It is much, much better.
It's everything's like a plan. Okay, what time do I meet in the lobby? Okay, what time do I want to come down for breakfast?
Right.
You know, and I hate, and obviously, you know, I hate plannings and I hate mornings. So it's like, I like to just wake up in a house and do my own thing or whatever, and then other people wake up and then, hey, what time are we going to go for lunch? Or I'm going to go swimming in a lake or something. So, yeah, it was a lot different. Of course, the hotel rooms are more money and everything, but once again, in Gillette, Wyoming, there was really nothing to rent. It's not like there's
it wasn't like Buddy Holly's house wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's a touristy area. I mean, it's just a coal mining town, and you know, so.
So now we got NFA coming up, and that's in Kingsport, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So what's the big difference between the NFA and the PGI?
Well, PGI is a place for a bunch of pyros to get together and buy product and shoot it off right there and take advantage of having a shoot site and go with their families and just shoot a bunch of fireworks that they normally couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
At the PGI, you're going to see some of the most fantastic firework display shows at night, you know, put on by these big companies. So that's always fun. And the NFA is more of a trade show, really, for the Chinese people to come to the United States to basically try and get our business or try and talk you into importing.
So there'll be Chinese.
Yeah,
there.
Many. Yeah, there's about 100 and some booths there. Mainly, predominantly Chinese people will be there trying to
promote PGI their little companies. Like, PGI is more like a wholesaler.
Yeah, so. PGI is just really a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of crazy pyros that can build their own shells. They can manufacture stuff. They can attend classes. They can get their shooter's license. There's a lot of things that PGI does for the hobbyist. Where NFA is more of a sales point for the Chinese people to come and try and get
that
us.
That should be
to,
interesting.
Yeah, get us to import through them and stuff. And of course, we have a booth there because there are other American companies that have a booth there as well. But I've always said it's more really for Chinese people. And if none of the American companies would put a booth there, then I wouldn't either, because the American companies, we see the same people every year. We see the same people.
Right.
It's really more for the younger companies maybe going, wow, I should maybe try my hand at importing, and maybe I should work with this one in China, you know. But that being said, every night then we have, unfortunately, too many demos, but I think it's about five or six demos every night from different companies showcasing their product.
Right.
So
and that was PGI.
And that no, this is at NFA.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have all these five or six different companies every night doing a short 10-minute or 20-minute demo, depending on which slot they take. And so the people who don't go to China could actually see what they like and order it pretty much from the American companies. And the Chinese companies, they're going to show you their product, but unless you're an importer, you're not going to be able to buy that anyways. But yeah, a guy like me who is an importer might see something there and say, you know what, I'm going to go check that company out in China, you know,
right,
and do that. So it's beneficial for me as well. But
it's a different type of crowd.
It's a whole different type of crowd, and it's mostly consisted of fireworks store owners instead of hobbyists, and they're looking to, you know, import for their business or find another supplier or maybe find a different supplier as well.
Right.
You know?
Well, that sounds and, it sounds like fun.
So yeah, it's actually it's a really well put together organization, and it's a lot more classier. Where like say PGI PGI is just a bunch of pyros getting together and blowing stuff up. Where NFA is about business owners trying to locate
The difference between sitting in the bleachers and sitting in the skybox.
Yeah, I mean exactly. So
yeah, well, and it's got. I'm looking at their schedule here, and they got some, you know, U.S. Department of Transportation train the trainer class. You can go to a class. U.S. regulatory questions and answers for fireworks manufacturers. I mean, that's stuff that you wouldn't get at PGI.
Yeah, yeah, no.
After the smoke, snacks, and meet the demo companies. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. There's that's like I say. That's what we call like they call that afterglow at the PGI, and this is just kind of afterwards, after the shows, we all go back to a big banquet hall in the hotel, and everybody sits around big tables and talks and laughs, and it goes like to 1 in the morning. So right, it's a really nice, you know, informal way. And I just remember the first year me and Dino went there, and, you know, there's all these people, and me and Dino are just sitting by ourselves at this, like, big round table for eight. Because we really didn't know anybody in the firework industry as far as, you know, Chinese people and big people. And now you flash forward, you know, 12 years later, I was looking at my table being the most crowded with a bunch of Chinese people sitting around it. Because, you
well,
know,
yeah,
over
right,
there
right,
I'm very well
yeah,
known. And the
right,
other
right,
and the other people aren't well known at this NFA because they don't ever go to China. So they just, you
right,
know,
right,
they,
right. Well, yeah,
they may know their friends, but I, you know, yeah, always sitting around the Chinese people.
And we're
so
going to bring all this stuff. We're going to set it up over there.
Yep.
Maybe we'll even have more people.
Yeah, we can do one or two things. We could do a podcast from the booth. Which we could, or we could set up on a table for eight back in the corner of the booth, and then or in the afterglow, and then we can.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
be fun.
I definitely reached out to the people at Passfire and said we'd like to interview them, and
okay.
I hope I'm
Passfire
sure
is the movie about
the movie, and
right?
I'm pretty sure they had a special screening at PGI, and I wasn't able to make that. But I'm pretty sure they're going to have a screening also at NFA, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that because that would really be a good show.
Yeah, I
want to
check that out,
that's
too.
That's really a lot of fun. So I already emailed her, and she's going to, well, she said, I'd definitely be interested in doing an interview.
Oh, good.
And so we got that on the books.
Good.
And I fear that would be best to do it probably at the, in that big banquet hall afterwards.
Good,
yeah,
good, good.
It'll be pretty good.
And I okay, well, that's good. I can't wait. I can't. I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to that. I know PGI was fun, but this sounds like something different. So as much as I missed PGI this year, I'm looking forward to that one. So, and I saw this thing come across. I don't know if it was in my email or whatever, but I think I sent this to you. And so let's talk about this a little. This is like current, and this is from the United States Department of Transportation. It's guidance and criteria for fireworks novelty devices. Does this change anything? Is this changing the way it says novelty devices may be transported as not regulated as explosives by surface modes when the novelty devices comply with all the construction, formulation, and packaging requirements listed below? Does this help you?
I think it's hard to say. I think it would help me if I can put all this on one container and ship it all non-hazmat, which is what I think this is basically saying.
Right. I think it's basically lessening the restrictions for transporting novelties. And novelties are, and it's got them here listed, snappers, party poppers, toy smoke devices, snakes and glowworms and sparklers. So basically before, these had to be shipped as hazmat.
Yes.
Now this is saying they don't need to be shipped as hazmat. Yeah. Right?
So what I will work on mostly when I'm when I get to China on October 4th is I'm going to make sure that hopefully this order goes in and can be condensed into one non-hazmat container, because the minute you wrap these in with other things, then,
right,
of course, it's going to be shipped as hazmat.
Right.
Because,
well, you're right.
You know, so, so what I'll try and work on is making sure the snappers, party poppers, all the smoke devices, sparklers, hopefully it takes up one container.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Will that all take up one container?
I don't know. A lot of them are small cases, so I'm not really sure.
So the thing is, if you shipped like 90% of a container with novelties, but 10% of it had like 500 gram cakes, it would still have to go hazmat.
It would still go hazmat. Yeah. You know, so we'll definitely try and get. And the problem is, a lot of these novelty items come from different factories and different companies. So there again, it may be a little bit harder to get them all together to into the warehouse and put them out there. But
does that affect like shipping, you know, locally and the in the ground, or is it just over the sea or whatever? Is it shipping anywhere? It doesn't matter.
It's pretty much shipping anywhere, it seems like, because, you know, this would be able to go out. I mean, this would help us more. This would probably help us more on the inter and intrastate than it would help us coming over from China unless we were able to put all these on one container.
All right. Okay. Yeah. And this is recent. It was dated March 19th, 2015.
Yeah.
It's from the U.S. Department of Transportation, so if anybody wants to take a look at it, I'm sure you can find it. It's very short. It's only two pages, not very government-like. Usually they're like, you know, 300 pages, although it is worded pretty, you know, it's difficult to read. But I guess, yeah, the way it makes it sound is that modes of transportation authorized: motor vehicle, rail freight, cargo vessel, passenger aircraft, and cargo aircraft. So, yeah, anything. You can transport it any way you want.
Yeah. No, that's the only thing now, you know, once again, they all have that 1.4G sticker on them. And then that, so, you know, eventually I think they would have to take that 1.4G sticker off as well.
Yeah.
Well, I already emailed this to China for them to take a look at it and let me know what they think. Because I think we have to leave that 1.4G sticker off, because if we put that sticker on, then it would... then it would once again be looked at as a hazardous material. So, yeah, there's a lot to be. But once again, it's, you know, don't get me started, but, you know, U.S. Department of Transportation.
That's what we like to do is get you started.
You know, they come up with these goofy things, and once again,
they don't really think.
And nobody understands them.
Right.
And then when they see, I say, oh, no, it's Mark 1.4G, but it's a sparkler, and this is over here, and they don't even know what a sparkler is. And, you know.
Right, right.
And
well, it sounds like there will be a little bit more work to get this figured out, but it could be, it could lessen the cost of freight.
The problem I see with this is I will go ahead and do this, and then I will probably get caught or fined or something, and then this piece of paper, well, then we'll get it thrown out of court. Well,
right.
Of course, you know,
it'll cost
we'll spend
you.
Thousands trying to do it. But then I really think at the end of the day, that's really what the government wants you to do.
You'll spend thousands defending yourself, right?
Yeah, and against a law that they don't even know exists, because once again, the lawmakers are paid to make laws, and they just keep coming up with new ones.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think they're going to shrink the water bottles. Like, this is. Like, you know, you've proven this is too much water. You had to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So I'm sure the next lawmaker is going to say only bottles of, you know, 0.8 fluid ounces, just like they did in New York, because this is really a lot of water. I mean,
it's
very tasty, though.
Our Ice Mountain, our 16.9 fluid ounces. Well,
this is way too big.
In Chicago, they're trying to do a tax on soda. I mean, you know, and it's ridiculous, and the people are complaining. It's like, you know, it's not going to, you know, the politicians are like, well, it's just going to stop obesity. No, it's not. It's just going to, you know, It's just you guys are looking to make more money.
Tax on cigarettes is going to stop cancer.
Yeah, like the red light cameras were supposed to save us from accidents. No, it was just money. So let's switch gears.
Okay.
One of the most unfortunate things about fireworks always is the the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of them. I don't know if you noticed. Take a look at this guy. This guy, here, you could look at that. He looks like a happy-go-lucky guy.
Very happy-go-lucky guy.
Man dies instantly after lighting firework on head. A young man, yeah. This is from, how do you pronounce that? Callis, Maine? A young, and you have a different story, but it's the same story. A young man. Oh, yeah. A young man who was drinking and celebrating the 4th of July tried to launch a firework off the top of his head, fatally injuring himself, authorities said. Devin Staples and his friends had been drinking and setting off fireworks Saturday night in the backyard of a friend's home in the small eastern Maine city of Callis. And Stephen McClausen, a spokesman for the State Department of Public Safety, Staples, 22, of Callis, placed a firework mortar tube on his head and set it off, he said. The firework exploded, killing Staples instantly. His death is the first fireworks fatality in Maine since the state legalized fireworks on January 1st, 2012. Callis is on the Canadian border near New Brunswick. State fire marshals are also investigating several other 4th of July fireworks accidents. Blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, my God. Who would put a mortar tube on their head?
You can't be just a complete moron and expect to live. I mean,
I can't even imagine. So he just put the tube on his head, and what would happen? I would think it would just give you a recoil, but the thing must have blew off in the tube, right? Blew up in the tube?
I also have a feeling that this wasn't a Class C device.
Oh, this is like something you get, you know.
I have a hard time believing it because I think the recoil from a little 1.75 mortar shell off the top of your head, I don't think would be the end of the world at all. No. And, no. I mean, people hold the launch tube in their hand and shoot reloadables.
Right.
And they seem to work just fine.
Right, but I mean, let's go under the assumption it was a really big one, like something you would see at a public display, right? That wouldn't, I mean, he wouldn't just take them right out of the box and say, "Oh, I'm going to do the first one off my head." Wouldn't you put the first one on the ground and go, "Holy crap, that was really big. I better stay away from this."
Apparently not this guy. that's what I think. What did it was the recoil pushed him back in, and then being at it such a gave way, then the shell wouldn't shoot out of the tube properly, and then it would just blow up. You know what amazes me is when you watch a firework go up in the air and everything, and it blows up, any least little resistance, it doesn't go anywhere. It's not like it keeps, like, building up. You know, it's like when it's climbing in the sky, it's one thing, but least little bit of resistance, it keeps going and going and just builds itself up. It just
stops. Right.
It's like within a second. Oh well, I can't go up, so we're done.
Right. Well, I think that's because the actual effect is very light.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need much to get it up in the air, right? So if there's anything weighing it down, it's just not going to.
Yeah, and then there's only that short burst. So if that burst doesn't work, well, then the next burst is boom.
Yeah.
I mean, so you know, it's like that sparkling pinwheel we had. It would spin forever, but when the wind blew it and it kind of got a little resistance on a nail, it just gave up. It's very weird how it works. Well,
right.
And so, but I honestly think that it was probably a much bigger mortar shell than a legal mortar shell. But once again, you know,
it's been so good. It's been, what, 3-4 years since the first fatality. Here's another one. Man dies in front of his family after a large mortar firework he was holding exploded next to his head.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Jeffers, 47, died Sunday night. And this is in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Scott Jeffers, 47, died Sunday night from blunt force trauma. A mortar-like aerial firework he was holding exploded and hit his head. Police say alcohol was involved and his family witnessed the incident. Michigan law allows consumer fireworks on July 4th as well as the days before and after. The 47-year-old man died Sunday night. Alcohol was involved. The death was ruled an accident. And, you know, again, I mean, is, you know, a fun, this guy doesn't look as fun as the other guy. The guy from
Maine looks like a guy
you can hang out
with. I got to hang out with this guy. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's Calysis, so I think it's Greek heritage here.
Is,
we got, yeah, well, Dino could hang out with him.
Yeah, well, he does look Greek.
Yeah, he's it looks like a Greek heritage here, and yeah, no, this is.
But we have to stop with the shooting off the fireworks with the alcohol. If you're going to drink, let somebody else do it. Which,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like when I'd go boating, and you know, the minute you get on a boat, you know, you're like, want a beer? It's 9:30 in the morning. I mean, just because we are on a boat doesn't mean you have to drink. Just like you wouldn't. I didn't wake up this morning in my house and go, let me just crack open a beer. Not that I would ever do that anyways, but right. I'm just saying. So just because you're lighting off fireworks, you don't have to have alcohol on the 4th of July to have a good time. That's what the fireworks are for. And if, right. like I say, if you're going to drink, you know, have the kids light off fireworks. You notice all the people getting hurt? 47, 42, this guy's 22.
Right. They should know better.
You know, the 15-year-olds aren't getting hurt because their parents are going, okay, now be careful. Now, you know.
As they're swinging another shot of Jack or whatever, right?
And, well, yeah, and you know my favorite line at PGI when the kids come up with the kids do a safety course and then they have a little piece of paper and then they come up and you give each vendor gives them something free for passing the safety course.
Oh, okay.
So every time they wake up and I look at these little girls and boys and they're handing their sheet to me and I say, well, I know this is a hard question. I understand you don't have a tape measure with you, but how many feet should you throw the firecracker away from you after you light it? And these little boys sit there and they think about it and they think about it. And all of a sudden a little girl goes, you're not supposed to throw it. You know, girls are always know-it-all anyways, you know. So I'm like, good answer. So, you know.
There you go.
And then sometimes I'll tell them what hand you hold the Roman candle when you light it. Should it be the left hand or the right hand, you know. So I always try and give them these trick questions here.
Yeah.
And for most of the part, they seem to pass it, you know. And the parents, you know, look at me as, that's a trick question. Yeah. But, you know.
You speak about you always like your little taglines. And I heard a new one. I don't know if you ever heard of this one before, but I heard it when I was – in Florida, me and my brother-in-law drove down to Key West and the kids. And, you know, not to get off on a track here, but did you ever, so we're driving, did you ever make that drive from like Miami to Key West? And
I wanted to, but I haven't.
Remember
I
that
flew.
Movie True Lies where they blow up the bridge? Remember Schwarzenegger?
Oh, yeah. And,
that's on the bridges. So you go like from one island to the other and you drive over. It's really nice. So it was me and my brother-in-law and three teenage boys, basically. The youngest one is 13, my son, and Joey is 18, and my girlfriend's son, too, and my son. So we have four boys. So we're six guys in the car. And we basically said, and I'm going way off on a tangent to get to the story, but basically what we said was, hey, let's, you know, we're going to make this drive. It's a cool drive. You guys need to pay attention. So we're going to, you know, it's 7 in the morning. It's a beautiful day. What we're going to do is we're going to instill a ban on cell phones, the whole drive. We want you guys to talk to each other and look around. You took the cell phone away from my little nephew, like 13-year-old. It was like he was trying to get off crack. He was like, you don't understand, Uncle. I need my phone. I'm like, no, you don't, Max. You don't need your phone. Look outside. But then he just like, well, fine. And I'm going to go to sleep. I'm like, really? You're taking a nap out of spite. He's like, yeah, I want my phone. Yeah. Literally, you know, they're saying these days that kids, they don't want to drive. Like when we were 16, but they don't want to drive because they'll have to stop texting.
Yeah, they don't want to drive.
Right.
There's no drive to drive. That's hilarious.
I like that. Yeah.
That should be the new system. Yeah. The new slogan. There is no drive to drive.
These kids have no drive to do anything but sit and text on their phone and Snapchat and everything else.
Right.
It's just they're a bunch of retards.
Anyway, when you get to Key West, I told you that story to tell you this one. When you get to Key West, you know, it's just like a little island, and you could drive around, and you can rent these, like, six-person golf carts.
Yes.
You know, and drive around and just see the sights, and you don't have to drive your big car because they're small streets, whatever, so we did that. But the lady who was selling the golf carts, we get there, and, you know, I didn't have my ID or something, and, you know, the car was far away, and the lady, her line was, don't focus on the problem, focus on the solution. I was like, I like that. Have you ever heard that one before?
Yes, I have.
Have you? I've never heard
that
before.
Mine is always,
I like that.
Mine has always been, there are no problems, only solutions.
Well, same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. And I actually wrote it down. I was like, Johnny would like that one.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of my definitely good ones here.
Wait, one more. There was fireworks, more accidents. I don't know if you heard, but Right after the fourth, there was two NFL players also, like high-profile guys. There's New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul and Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback C.J. Wilson won't be getting on the field anytime soon after each had to have fingers amputated last weekend following fireworks-related accidents. I mean, Pierre-Paul had yet to sign his $14.8 million tender from the Giants, who thought so highly of him, they slapped him with a franchise tag. You know what that means? If you're a player and they're not going to give you a long-term contract, they can put a franchise tag on you, which means that they won't give you a long-term contract, but they won't let you go somewhere else, but they have to pay you like the average of the top five salaries of that position. So this guy...
So you're not getting signed on, but you can't go anywhere else.
Right, but we're going to pay you for one year,
yeah,
like the highest paid guy.
Just to sit idle so we can...
Well, not to sit idle, but just so you don't go anywhere else, but we might not want you long-term. So, yeah. But anyway, the point is, this guy had $14.8 million coming to him, and he was drunk or, you know, whatever he did. At the end of the day, he had to have his fingers amputated. I'm thinking there's a new service for you. You need, like, you know, Star Fireworks, you know, rent a guy, and you just go out there and blow off this stuff for people. Because apparently they could have paid you a heck of a lot of money. He had $14.8 million coming to him.
Yeah, I mean, I would have blew off my own finger for half of that. Just so he could see the effects of fireworks if not used properly.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
And here's what we could do if you want to see.
You give me $7 million, I'll lose these two fingers to show you what could happen to you. I mean, I just, once again, I really feel bad, like, especially with this nice Greek kid over here, you know, 22 years old. And the sad part is I look at this article, and according to me, it said... Where did I see it? Maine since legalized fireworks in 2012. So we finally get Maine to go along with us.
Right.
And then this yo-yo blows his head off, and then you got all these do-gooders in Maine saying, see, I told you we should never legalize fireworks. But I just want to tell all you people in Maine, this man would have blew his head off regardless whether fireworks were legal or not, because he would have went to another state and bought them anyways. So don't let this... persuade any other towns from legalizing fireworks because of three, four yo-yos here.
Well, I'm sure there's much more than that. Those are just the ones that came to mind when I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a rotten shame. I mean, they're just dumb, and it's a shame. And that's a rotten shame. Nothing I can say about that. You can't say nothing about stupidity. You know, my mother always said the same thing. You know, sometimes you just raise a stupid kid. You know, nothing to do with their parents. You just raised a stupid kid.
Right. You know what I mean? Some you have high hopes for. That's why I only had one. So I just, you know, I just throw all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
But you are right, and I never really thought of it that way. It doesn't matter if fireworks are legal or illegal. In Maine, the guy was going to get fireworks.
He was
going to
get them anyways.
Yeah. It's not like he's like, oh, good thing fireworks are legal because I'm going to go get some. No, they were going to get them anyway. He just used them the wrong way.
He used them the wrong way, and it says directly on there, and you heard me on the radio a million times say, please don't alter your fireworks in any way. Use them as they're designed to be used, and then people don't, and then they want to blame people like me.
Right.
I mean, I just remember that, oh, my God, we had one of the best 4th of July's ever, and then and I should be all happy and excited. The warehouse is empty. And the next day, the ATF calls me up trying to blame me for the guy in North Dakota blowing off his head. And I never even knew the guy. I didn't even sell that kind of merchandise. But all of a sudden, they're looking to blame somebody for their own stupidity. You know, I want to see this guy's family try and blame the fireworks manufacturer or somebody else. You know, and the problem is, you know, in our country, when you get sued, you have to defend yourself. Whether or not you're guilty or innocent, and
it's like suing McDonald's because the coffee that you spilled on your lap is hot.
Meanwhile, you're spending all this money in frivolous lawsuits,
right?
And you know, and no recourse to his family. They're just looking for a handout. I mean,
they're sad and they feel bad for what happened, and they're trying to make somebody pay. But at the end of the day.
He's the guy that should pay. He paid with his life, and then he's done.
I can almost guarantee you I will never blow off my head with a mortar because I will never put one on my head to do that. You know what I mean? Don't put yourself in that situation.
In that situation.
And it won't happen. So.
I mean, look how many years I've been playing with fireworks, and nothing has happened, but I try and take every precaution not to have something happen.
Right. And you do it the right way. Yeah. Like, and you're a professional, which, yeah. like I said, if there's any NFL guys out there who want to pay you to light them
yes.
up, you've even offered
willing
to give
to
up
blow
finger.
Off a couple fingers for him.
Just blow one right off. Let's yeah. see what happens here. Give me my yeah. $7 million.
Give me $7 million and, yeah, yeah. and let's just get rid of one of these fingers. You don't need it, you know.
It's kind of like our Mike Tyson conversation. What would you do for, you know, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll blow off a finger for that much cash.
Yeah, I mean, just to show them the negative effects of fireworks, if that's what you really want to prove, you know. Speaking of famous people, you know, I'm always, you know, Johnny Star travels the world looking for famous people.
Who'd you meet, Star Stalker?
LeBron James.
Where?
In Put-in-Bay, Ohio.
Really?
Yes.
He's in Ohio.
He's in Ohio, yeah, and he must have a huge boat because he sure brought over a lot of people, let me tell you. I never saw Put-in-Bay look so, crowded.
Yeah, it's like, so, I think I know what you mean.
I was like, wow, he must have a huge boat because there's an awful lot of people here for LeBron James.
Did you get a picture with him?
No, I didn't get a picture. No, he's, once again, I'm short, arms are short. A selfie with me and him would be worse than
Gene Simmons.
It's like taking a selfie with the Sears Tower, or Willis Tower, I should say.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, real big guy. But it was just cool being like right there, and LeBron James is drinking and having a good time in Ohio, Put-in-Bay, you know, which is where I'll be going this next weekend as well.
Oh, good.
And, so it was kind of fun to see LeBron James. And I'm like, wow, I'm right there, you know. So,
wow, you like run into more famous people.
I know. That's why don't be shocked when you walk into the Villa in Cabo San Lucas and Leonardo DiCaprio sitting there because it's expected.
After you bumbled horribly on the Leo trivia in the Jeopardy game. You couldn't think of The Departed.
I knew the name. I just couldn't think of the name, but that's a senior moment.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You barely got any of the questions right.
I'm sure if Leo played a trivia with me, he wouldn't know that much about me either.
Johnny Star trivia.
We have not formally met, but once we do, we're gonna be looking as happy as this guy right here. We're gonna hang out.
It's unbelievable how happy. Well, that's cool. How did LeBron? He was entertaining guests.
Laughing, joking, and and some people took a picture with him, and you know, once again, I didn't really have anyone to take a picture, and you know, so it was like, once again, I'm not a big sports fan, you know. I mean, now if that was a movie star or something there, then it would have been let me have an autograph here, you know, as close as I was to the Cubs last night. I really didn't want an autograph from them because I don't even know who they are. I mean,
they're all young kids.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know, and
22, so 23.
What is that? The guy met his wife, Ramirez or whatever.
I'm sure.
Is he still there? Sosa's gone.
Oh,
I mean, all,
oh,
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, these here, are all.
Yeah, it's way old,
that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. These are all people that you hear of, but they're all. They're all, I didn't know any of these players. You know, Rizzo, some people had Rizzo jerseys on.
Yeah, Rizzo's
you know,
their, like, and, they're big guys.
Yeah, he looked pretty, you know, nice looking guy and kind of fun to, you know, laughing.
They got a guy named Schwarber.
Yeah, yes, I saw
Schwarber.
That. Yeah.
And I think this is the coolest nickname, and I'm trying to get it to catch on, but nobody listened to me. Schwar Machine.
Schwar Machine.
I like that.
Mm? No, for him.
For
okay,
him, yeah. I need somebody to spread it around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean,
they got Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, I don't know,
yeah.
whatever. But they're all excited.
Yeah, so I mean, they're...
Are out of their minds.
Yeah, there was, I mean, so there was a lot of fun there. I mean, it was, you could feel the energy in the stadium. 39,211 people.
39,000.
211. So I don't know if that's good, bad, or what. I really don't know.
They sold out. Oh, yeah. They sold out every
Oh, okay.
Game.
So they're
coming down. Yeah. I mean, when you haven't won a World Series in 106 years, you kind of get excited.
Yeah. So they're really that close.
Well, they'll be, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's about as far as you're going to get with baseball. But the problem is that they're in the same division with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are just like, really good.
Really good, yeah.
So who knows?
I was actually looking so close up at their uniforms. Their uniforms are really very, retro-looking still. Their uniforms really, like, look old-fashioned to me. They're just...
The Cubs? Well, everything about the Cubs is old-fashioned. The stadium, the sign out front, the scoreboard in the middle.
I mean, I like all of them. I'm just saying that the uniforms are nice, right? They haven't changed much over the years. That, you know, like compared to the other players,
right.
They're, you know.
No, yeah, exactly.
Don't do anything and it comes around again.
I think the Yankees are like that too. The Yankees,
yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
That's like a classic. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah, so, but you're making me ill with the Cubs talk. I'm
yeah.
I'm a Sox fan.
Oh, that's right. You're a Sox fan. Yeah.
All right. Well, you see this book? Do you know what this is? Who is this?
Paul Stanley from KISS.
From KISS. Yeah. Your buddy's, Coworker. Gene Simmons' coworker. I was reading this when I was away. We're going to start a new thing, the Brigade Book Club. Ready?
Oh, okay.
So this is Paul Stanley's book called Face the Music, A Life Exposed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a hardback book, but I read it in when I was in Florida. So here's a funny story that I read out of this, and I was thinking, man, there must be a bad stigma, or there's a stigma with pyro guys. So this is Paul Stanley talking. So, this is from his book. Near the tail end of the tour, we stopped in Hawaii, which you like that.
Yeah.
None of us had ever been there before, and now we had a gig in Honolulu and our few days off and a few days off to spend there afterward. The day after our show, the pyro guys and some others, including Rick Stewart, a security guard charged with looking after me, rented a catamaran. Now, right away, this is the part I'm interested in. This is Paul Stanley talking. Now, right away, you should know not to do anything risky with a pyro guy. No offense to pyro guys, but they got a hard on making things go boom. whether that meant making a living at it or winding up in jail, the line between pyro guys and arsonists was very fine back in the day.
Oh my God. Yeah. I just hope Leo doesn't read this book.
Yeah, he might.
He
might not want
to
come.
It thinks I might want the villa to go boom. Well, I mean,
Paul Stanley, passing on the bad word about pyro. Although some guys might like to hang out with a pyro guy just from that book.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. Doesn't he also doesn't the Kiss band, they do a lot of indoor pyrotechnics?
Oh, that's all they do.
Once again,
that's what he's saying though. But stay away from the pyro guys if you're going to hang out.
Yeah.
Well, at least he didn't say the pyro guys don't pick up the check or anything.
No, I mean, yeah, no, that's good. And, once again, the pyro guys make that concert for him, and I mean, if it wasn't for the pyro, people wouldn't go to see Kiss. They'd go to see the pyro,
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And then the next day, out on the guy's catamaran, blasts them. Talk about ungrateful.
Well, the pyro guys get a hard on for making things blow up, just like drummers, get excited hitting things with sticks. I mean, yeah. But, they're all... They're all jaded. And they hate the pyro.
This reminds me back in my childhood. When you're a little kid, you do something bad, and your mother yells at you and says, "After all the things I do for you, and this is the thanks I get."
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, right now
this pyro guy, is going out of his way to make Paul Stanley happy, and he just blasts him in his book.
Right. Yeah, he's probably reading it. He's reading the book, and then
he's getting all excited.
And his wife, his wife is in the next room. He's like, Grace, did you see what Paul Stanley said about me? God, I can't get a break.
I can't believe I spent that much money on a catamaran. This guy's ungrateful. Yeah,
hey, right. He's hammering me, telling me I get a hard on from setting things off on fire.
Little does Paul Stanley know, he's on a lot of fireworks.
poor guy. But man, I don't know. But I read that. I thought it was funny. But you know what? It's true because the pyro does have that. It not only does it have a stigma, if you get a bunch of pyro guys in the room, you better up the insurance. But also, it's like whenever you tell some, if I'll tell somebody I go to Fargo around the 4th, I help out my buddy and fireworks, and right away they got a million questions. It's not like I sell newspapers or I sell Diet Coke or whatever. They want to know more about fireworks.
Yeah, this is why one of the reasons why. If I'm in a bar or in a restaurant and I meet somebody new and they don't know what I do and, they ask me what I do for a living, I immediately just say I'm a pilot because then then what happens is they're immediately, a pilot. They're very impressed by that, And then the next question usually follows United or American, and then when I mention crop duster, then they just immediately leave my table, which is what I want them to do anyways. Get away from me. I'm trying to eat dinner. So, I use that line all the time. I'm a pilot, and then when they further the questions, then I wind up saying I'm a crop duster, and that usually goes over real big.
Yeah,
that's good.
That would be good. Either that or you always wanted to tell people you flew a blimp.
Yeah, exactly. Nope. There's a call coming in from Australia. Just to make it interesting.
You used to always tell people you flew a blimp. You thought that would impress the girls.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Do you remember when we did our ALS challenge? Remember we got in the bucket with the fireworks in it? Remember what you said you wished the ALS challenge should have been? What did you say?
I think maybe eating a hot fudge sundae
You know you're ahead of your time. Watch Kevin Bacon. Here's a Kevin Bacon challenge and a lucky kid to an ice cream eating contest for charity. Bacon, Kevin Bacon, who is looking, he's like, here, I got a little thing of him. He doesn't age.
The guy doesn't age.
He's like, he sparkles. He's like a vampire. He's like Team Jake. Was it Team Edward?
Yeah, he would be Team Edward. Team Edward.
Why? I don't even know.
I'd be closer to Team Jacob, you know.
So, but he's got this charity, and they took a trip to an ice cream eating place to raise money to give the kids the World Village, a nonprofit resort that provides accommodation and access to theme parks for children with life-threatening illnesses. I mean, this is a great thing he's doing. Here, I'll play.
I'm Kevin Bacon. This is Ethan.
But you were ahead of your time.
Orlando. This is a not-for-profit resort.
Yeah, you don't have to kill yourself.
Kids and
no, just no. The, Kevin right Bacon here, had the right idea.
What if he uses that keels on his skin? Looks very good.
I'm telling you, he glows.
He actually looks younger than the kid. That's for the hair thing. That's why I keep going back for those transplants. You know.
So now him and this kid are going to sit here and eat. The kid looks happy.
For the next 6 seconds, we are going to battle it out, and the winner gets bragging rights. The loser.
Look at them. They're both sitting there in an ice cream shop. They got these big, huge
Bugs Bunny behind them.
Yeah, and they're ready to go. He's ready to go. But Kevin, I don't know what Kevin Bacon's doing, but he just does not age whatsoever.
Who come here to give kids the hair?
The kid isn't so fortunate.
No,
there's a timer. Awesome.
So, but anyway, I thought you were. I thought you were way ahead of your time with this one. So,
and this is what are you ready? And this is what I've said. This is the type of challenge you should have. Sure, let's not, you know, blow ourselves up in a bucket or get a stiff neck from cold water dropping on you. This is, let's just eat some ice cream and have some fun.
All right.
And raise some money.
They're going to go at it now, and then.
Are you ready, everybody?
Let's
do it.
Now I'm going to show you a video of the Chinese people eating watermelon. Incredible.
We'll have to look at that next time. Look at them. There they go. They're digging in. Look at how much fun that kid is having.
Yeah.
They only do it for 8 seconds, which is even
better. Which is good. Yeah, you don't have to kill yourself, you know.
Right. That's even better, right?
That kid just had the whipped cream, it looks like.
Well, maybe it's just whipped cream. It could be just whipped cream, and they're just pulling a fast one. But that looks way more.
I mean, Kevin Bacon picked up big globs of ice cream. The kid just kind of licked the whipped cream a little bit, you know.
That looks way more pleasant than the.
And I'll tell you what, you're going to get a lot more people to eat that ice cream besides, you know, standing in, you know, a bucket of. You know, when that Zamboni dumped all that ice on the girl, it's a wonder she didn't collapse from the weight of the ice. I mean, really.
But when I saw that, I was like, my God, Johnny called it. He said we should be just like eating a hot foot sundae.
Hot foot sundae.
And Kevin Bacon, can we have Kevin at the house in Cabo with Gene Simmons?
I think so. I still like that movie he did with Kevin Bacon and Matt Dillon or the other brother Dillon.
Oh, I don't know.
With the two young girls, Matt Dillon was a teacher, and let me tell you,
don't get me started.
That whole cast in the villa. To tell you the truth, you know,
one of those is Charlie Sheen's ex-wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the hot one, not the one that was like the introvert. The other one, that's Charlie Sheen's.
Richards. He had a real hot looking one. They actually framed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Denise Richards. Yeah.
So that was, that's actually a good one. Yeah, but no, Kevin Bacon, it doesn't change a bit. Yeah, he looks. Well, you know, once again, if you're in that, you know, income level that they're in, you know, shame on them for, you know, letting themselves go or not being taken care of. I mean, you know, you pay someone to do all these things for it, you know.
Right. I got one more thing that I wanted to talk about, and then we can end it. We tried to talk about this when we were in Fargo, and I never got around to it. But here, let me. We got a little theme music. You know what I want to talk about? This guy.
Who is that?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, Caitlyn Jenner.
She's a lady.
Yeah. I like that song. She's a lady.
It's a great song, isn't it?
It is a great song. You know, someone sent me a picture on my telephone by text. One of my friends. I can't remember what it was, but it was this lady like walking into the ocean or like running into the ocean, you know, in a bikini. And I'm looking at this picture, and I texted back, who is this?
Yeah.
And then he's like, that's Caitlyn Jenner. Like, I mean, like, I didn't know Bruce Jenner, you know, not alone Caitlyn Jenner, but I was like, I mean, not a bad looking lady for an old lady.
Yeah, but that's,
I mean, running into water. I mean, I'm just saying, so I would never right. known it was Bruce Jenner. I just thought it was like
movie
star.
Well, no, it's not
Bruce
anymore.
Well,
now
it's Caitlyn. Yeah.
I mean, so this is the Wikipedia page. Caitlyn Jenner, born October 28th, 1949, formerly known as Bruce Jenner, is a retired American athlete known for winning the men's decathlon at the Summer 76 Summer Olympics. Since 2000, she's been appearing on E's reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and currently starring in her own reality show, I Am Kate, which focuses on her gender transition. Multiple publications have described her as the most famously open transgender person in the world since she came out in 2015. But people are like talking to us like we're supposed to accept this.
Yeah, it's a hard one to say. I mean, I'm glad that Bruce or Caitlyn.
It's Caitlyn now.
Caitlyn. I'm glad that they've got their wish and followed on to what they wanted to do. Capitalizing on it, I think, is kind of wrong. I don't need to watch What About Kate or Who About Kate.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of transgender people that did these things, and we don't know who they are, and we might even dated a few of them. We don't even know. I mean, I'm just saying, let's hope not. But yeah, you never know. Yeah. You know, but
let's hope not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a late drinking night on Clark Street after a Cubs game, and you never know. You could be with Caitlyn too. But
I just find it
crazy that at that age you want to go through all this. I mean,
I don't even like aftermarket parts on my car stereo. I'm pro vagina, all this stuff. But when you tell me like this is the new accepted thing, I could never imagine going to my kid and saying, oh, you know, now I'm Rhonda. You know, my 16-year-old son has
and the kids are like,
well, they're all
pretending.
Like saying, yeah, you're beautiful. Oh, this is the new normal.
Yeah,
no,
I don't even think I'd want to call my dad beautiful. I mean, I would have a hard time with that. You know, I mean,
beautiful. I was at that bar last night. Yeah. I don't know anybody.
I mean, I could just see me going, you know, tell my dad how nice his eyes look. I just can't see doing that, you know. Who does your makeup? I think it's a question that would never come out of my mouth talking to my dad, you know. But
right, but it's just like, why do we have to accept this? And then did you hear this thing with Target? So Target, this is in the Sun-Times, Friday, August 14th this year. I think it's all kind of the same movement. So Target, the end of pink and blue at Target. So Target, and for all those other companies that are likely pigeonholing kids by gender, dolls for girls, trucks for boys, is a relic of bygone era. No longer will parents have to choose between building sets and girls building sets. A picture of that Target aisle sign was tweeted by a parent this year and quickly went viral. So basically, I think when you would buy things for kids, it was pink for girls and blue for boys. But so now Target's doing away with pink and blue, so now it's just all one big aisle. So a boy won't feel pressured if he goes and wants to buy a Barbie doll. I don't know about you, but if I was going to buy a Barbie doll, my dad would have slapped me. You know?
I mean, I got a kick out of one of years ago when this mother that worked for us told us that her son really wanted a KitchenAid mixer for Christmas. I had all I could do to keep from laughing. And obviously, God bless his heart, he loved to cook and bake and everything else like that. I just thought it was hilarious, and I just have a hard time. I would have a hard time saying that in my store. That by the way, my son has his heart set on a KitchenAid mixer for Christmas. But so I guess that being said, with Target, you could buy this KitchenAid mixer at Target and get away with it because and it's funny because now we're talking about there is no pink or blue and.
Right. Well, that's ridiculous.
And one of my new things for this year, of course,
bring it back to fireworks. All full circle.
Fireworks
was
going to have gender reveal cakes. So
I think that's a great idea.
And I got the name. It's real easy. It's a boy. It's a girl.
Right.
You know. And then and then all blue and then all pink. And I think it's a great idea. And We actually had some calls for it too, you know. And this will be a nice thing is we'll find out how many people are actually listening now because I'm sure we'll know. Whoever comes out with those cakes will know that they got that idea from me.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I fear we let that little one
but
go.
But doesn't that seem like way overreacting to get rid of pink and blue at Target?
I honestly do not think that I just don't think they should just mush all this together.
No, yeah. God bless Caitlyn Jenner if she can do – I mean, whatever it is he or she wants to do, as long as it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, and you don't have to. You don't have to.
Why do I have to feel? Why do you make me feel uncomfortable for the way I feel?
See, once again, you know, I know we're going to tie this full circle into politics, but you know, you know. Now I understand that a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. You know, and I'll tell you why they don't like him.
Because
he's rich. They don't like him. First of all, they don't like him because he's rich.
Yeah.
But he doesn't try and hide. I'm worth $10 billion. I'd like to be president, which, okay, I think that's good. And he brings a lot of character into it. But the bottom line is Donald Trump is not a politician, so he's not going to sugarcoat anything. And he's not going to try and appeal to everybody by saying nothing. Like Target is trying to take the whole aisle and put everybody in it.
Right.
You know, let's have some separate aisles here. You know, so – and a common guy like myself sitting home in my underwear is liking what Donald Trump is saying because, I'm tired of going on a train that goes 30 miles an hour while we spend billions in other countries giving them trains that go 300 miles an hour and ours are falling apart.
Right.
So same thing, you know, if Caitlin and Bruce want to mesh together in some sort of freaking nature body, that's great for them, but you don't have to try and mesh the whole society, just like I don't think we should be over in these other countries trying to make them, you know, give them democracy and give them our religion. They should be let them do whatever they want to do, you know, but don't have to mesh everybody together.
I agree with it. Did you hear what Trump got in trouble for this last one? Anchor baby.
Mm-mm.
Did you hear that?
No. I don't watch the news.
I listen to talk radio.
I want to listen to Donald Trump because I just love him. But, you know.
So anchor baby. Did you ever hear that term?
Mm-mm. I heard anchor man.
Well, no, anchor baby. So I don't know if I don't think Donald actually coined this phrase, but he used it. Now everybody's mad at him for using it. And they're saying almost like, we're not supposed to call them transvestites anymore. We're supposed to call them transgender or whatever. So we're not supposed to call them anchor babies anymore. But an anchor baby is when like two illegal aliens come to this country and the woman is pregnant and they have the baby here. Now the baby was born here, so it's a resident, it's a citizen. That's an anchor. That's an anchor baby. So, but what is anchor baby a bad thing? But everybody's getting on Trump's case for calling it an anchor baby, and he's just like, well, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
What do you want me to call it? It's the baby that was born to illegal alien. You know what do you? It's anchor baby. What's the I don't know. But anyway.
I mean, and that's the first time I ever heard the phrase. But
that was the first time I heard it.
Once again, you know, these people are coming to this country, and then this is what happens, and then, But, I always thought, you know, in all my years of voting, I heard many voters say, grab the anchor, baby, you know, and, within kind of like a mean face to their girlfriend on the boat, you know.
Was it your dad on the boat or something said this anchor doesn't work?
I forget someone said.
Somebody said this anchor doesn't work. You're like, how could it not work? Anchor?
It's a piece of metal that weighs more than what it's holding.
As long as it's got a rope and it's tied together than the boat, it's gonna work.
No, what we found out though, and what we found out early on, which I was surprised my big boater friends didn't know this, or some of them didn't know this, that an anchor is really utterly useless unless it's attached to a chain attached to the rope. I learned that at an early age. I'm like, you have no chain on this anchor. My friend's got his 44-foot boats for the last 20 years, and he has a hard time anchoring. I go, well, do you have no chain on it? Hasn't nobody in the boating world have told you that?
Why does it have to have a chain?
Because the chain keeps the anchor like flat on the ground.
So it'll dig in.
So it digs in where the rope kind of lifts up the tail end of the anchor, and then it just floats and doesn't really dig in. But, that's the only thing I remember. I was like, grab the anchor, baby, you know.
All right, well, let's close out. You know what? Look, before we close, though, did you ever watch this show, Modern Family?
Oh, Modern Family.
Yeah, so here, let's go to the...
I think I've seen this.
Let's go to the Pyro Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. So, you know, in this show, there's... These two guys here are homosexuals.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they're... So, And the guy on the the guy on the right, his dad is Al Bundy, the old Al Bundy from the TV.
Wait, the guy on the right. Oh, his dad is actual Al Bundy.
Yeah, his dad.
He's a Bundy. Well, or no,
it's a different O'Neill. But it's the actor. Yeah, Ed O'Neill is the actor. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, he's the son of Ed O'Neill.
He's the son of Ed O'Neill. He's a homosexual, and that's his homosexual partner. And they're talking about their wedding, and Ed O'Neill is in this scene that I'm about to play for you, and he ties it in really nice. He like says everything that I think we would want to say. So let's listen to this, and then we'll finish it up.
Mean to blurt it out like that. It's okay. I kind of suspected the dates didn't line up. Now I'm starting to think that wasn't Amelia Earhart's compass.
I'm so sorry, but I am sure that Jay can help you two out.
No. We want to do this on our own.
Can I ask you a question?
I love it.
Why are you having such a big thing anyway?
Well, because we're only getting married once.
I'm just saying, why do you need to make it into a spectacle?
A spectacle?
This could be the universe's way of telling you to bring it down a notch. Invite your family, your friend Pepper, and what's his name? The flouncy one, Le David.
I don't have a flouncy friend named Le David, Dad.
Do you mean LaMichael or Jamarcus? I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Whatever. I'm just saying keep it small. Why pay all that money for people you barely know?
Oh, you mean like any of your friends?
Oh, please. You don't want any of my friends there.
Really? Because I've been asking for a list for months now. So who doesn't want them there? Me or you?
Why are you getting upset?
Because, Dad, if this was Claire's wedding, you would be all over it. You'd be wanting to have it at your club. You'd be inviting all your friends.
Oh, please. I wasn't that thrilled when Claire got married either.
Either, for God's sake. Just stop talking.
Everybody back off. I don't think I'm out of line suggesting my friends don't want to see a father-son dance at a big gay wedding.
Father-son dance, Dad.
I don't know what things go on there. Do I walk you down the aisle? Does someone throw a bouquet? I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know how this stuff plays out with my guys from the club.
Oh, you mean the guys who sit around the locker room watching football naked? No, this isn't about them. This is about you. You are the one that's uncomfortable here.
Fine, I admit it. This whole wedding thing is weird to me.
Wow.
Now, see, why do you get to be you, but I don't get to be me? See, I didn't choose to be uncomfortable. I was born this way.
Are you really throwing a gay anthem in our face
perfect,
right now?
Isn't it?
Give me some credit. You know how far I've come. I mean, what more do you want from me?
You know what, Dad? You do. You get to be you. If it really makes you that uncomfortable, then don't come to the wedding.
See, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's true. Why?
Yeah. Why do you get to be you, but I don't get to
be me? Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's what that should be the new Donald Trump slogan: is why do you get to be you, and I don't get to be me? Let the man say what he wants to say. Because honestly, at the end of the day, I want someone to just speak the way he feels instead of trying to sugarcoat everything to make everybody happy. You know,
right. And
that's the picture.
That's
I got.
Picture. Yeah, I sent it to you.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. Did you know Caitlyn Jenner could face manslaughter charge for crash? I'm thinking. So Caitlyn Jenner could face a vehicular manslaughter charge after sheriff's investigators found she was driving unsafely when she caused a chain reaction crash that killed a woman last February. Officials said Thursday. Investigators determined Jenner was driving at a speed unsafe for the prevailing road conditions, Los Angeles County Sheriff Department spokeswoman said. Jenner was hauling an off-road vehicle on a trailer behind her Cadillac Escalade, and Escalade on February 7th when she steered to avoid cars slowing for a traffic light in front of her on the Pacific Coast Highway. So she might go to prison.
Was he?
But maybe this is the thing, because maybe she'll say, well, you know, Bruce isn't here anymore.
I was going to say, was it Bruce driving or Caitlin driving at that time?
It had to be Bruce then, because Caitlin just came out recently, no?
Well, I don't, I'm not there, sure when it was.
There's
a date
Vanity
on there.
Fair.
Evil looking woman.
Evil. But there's the comparison. They look at what we're looking at. I mean,
a shame.
Yeah, why would you go from?
Well, the thing is, you know, I was going to just prove my theory. If the accident happened while Caitlin was driving, I'm going to show you women just can't drive. I mean, all these years he had no problem driving an SUV. Right. Now all of a sudden he becomes a woman and he smashes everything up.
I like your idea. Either that or I'm thinking maybe he just changed sexes. So, hey, well, Bruce isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
I'm Caitlin.
Well, see, here's
you can't
my,
send me to jail. Well, or can you imagine a guy like that in jail, or just where do you put him, in men or women? Or
yeah, well, I guess just like they told my dad in Cabo San Lucas, don't worry, Poppy, just play upstairs, don't play downstairs. but the problem I have is, I mean, okay, so see, like I always think of my escape plan. I always have an escape plan. So, you know, my escape plan is, you know, become a resident of Mexico, have that villa waiting for me, and then, you know, just have some extra side cash ready to go, you know, when the ATF or the FBI or the CIA somebody, or whoever else wants, because, you know, in this country they can convict a French fry if they want to, you know.
Right,
so
right.
Had I known all this, I could have just changed sexes and stayed right here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, this is, you know, this could be like, you know, I could just, you know, save a lot of money just by changing my sex and then just staying right here,
I,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know. And, I don't look at him. Yeah. I have no idea.
Well, I could move to Arkansas and you could call me Joan of Arc.
Oh, he looks like this guy, Big J Strongbow. Look at him.
Yeah. Now, you know, on a second note, we'd have
Chief
a little
Dre,
bit. Of,
Chief Dre Strongbow.
When now you brought the Indian picture up here, I have to say that this is a sad story. I went to see at PGI, we're in Gillette, Wyoming, and you didn't want to show up, so I decided to take some time off for myself and just get away and go see Mount Rushmore, which was very impressive. And then I went to also go see Crazy Horse.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're like right next to each other, aren't
yeah,
they?
Pretty close to each other. So, of course, Crazy Horse is first. It's $28 a carload. There was three of us. So, a gift shop and this and that. And I'm not sure if you know, but Crazy Horse, the man that worked on the guy that worked for the guy that started sculpting Mount Rushmore was hired by Crazy Horse, or hired by an Indian tribe to do a sculpture of Crazy Horse in 1949.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you've been to Crazy Horse. So,
I've seen,
so, okay,
I've
so this is like 1949. This is 2015. The only thing that's been done is the face. They want to do an arm. They want to do a finger. They want to do a horse's head. They got a lot of work here. I mean, and they got one little crane up there on this whole thing. So here's a guy in 1949. He never had another job. I really don't even know how much he got paid or who paid him or if he's still getting paid. And I know it's not government funded, which I'm all happy about that.
Right.
But my point is, how do you just take a job in 1949? You grow into a old bearded man with 10 kids and a wife. How he found 10 kids and a wife, or how he found a wife to have 10 kids with without a Macy's is beyond me, because it never happened to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did all this. I mean, never had another job. I mean, then he died building this. His wife now, who is narrating the program, also died in 2014.
Oh,
a few of the kids are left building this, but this is, I mean, it just blows my mind that we may not see Crazy Horse finished in our lifetime.
Right.
Because this has been, you know, 65 years and we just got a face. And I'll tell you what, it ain't much of a, I mean, it's really nothing to look at, but then again, there's not a lot of American Indians that are really breathtaking, in my opinion,
right.
But
right.
I'm just saying that it's, you know, and then. Then I went to Mount Rushmore, so I was very big let down over there at Crazy Horse, because I'm like, wow, this is, I mean, I felt very old, like I've never even seen this, so this is kind of sad, you know, that I'm already reaching my mortality based on Crazy Horse. But anyways, so we go to Mount Rushmore, and that started in 1938, and there was this old gentleman there, 94 years old, and he's signing his autograph. And he actually worked on the Mount Rushmore in 1938, 39, and 1940. And, you know, nice gentleman. And I walked up there and a little leaflet book, you know, that he was signing for $12 and tells you all about the whole thing,
which
I thought that was pretty nice. So anyways, I said to him, wow. I says, you worked here in 1938, 39, and 1940. He's like, yep. I'm like, you know, how was that? He's like, it's all right. I'm like, so how old are you now? He's like, 94. And he's like, you want a book? I'm like, nah, not really. I just, you know, just looking around, you know, like that. I go, let me ask you something. I go, how much did you make an hour back in 38, 39, and 40, way up on that mountain sculpting Mount Rushmore? And he looked at me with his face and says, does it really matter? I mean, what? No, I don't know if the guy gets paid, but you just can't you be a little cheery? I mean, my first time to Mount Rushmore, he signed a book. No, I do not want a book for $12 because I'm not going to be – what am I going to do with this book? I mean, it's not like a hard copy. I keep it like this book here is a nice book. You put it on your coffee table, Mount Rushmore. But you're talking about a leaflet, and then you got this old cranky son of a gun signing it, you know.
I still haven't gotten through the Paul Stanley book, for God's sake.
I mean, I'm, you know, and I'm like – Does it really matter? Well, I got, and I, you know, me being a non-confrontational guy, I am, you know. Yeah. I mean,
does it mention any pyro guys in that book?
No, no. And I just said, yeah, I guess it really doesn't matter. I just thought I'd be curious to know. You know, and I, if that would have been the old Johnny from years ago, I probably would have stabbed him with that pen in his juggler. But I let him go because he's 94, and I just said, you know what?
Oh, wow.
Maybe he's having a bad day signing his autographs.
He's having a bad day.
Once again, retire. I mean, you've been at the same site for the last 70 years. Take a break. You know, why don't you go to the Dells? I mean,
go to the Dells.
Yeah, something. Live a little, live a little bit. I mean, you know, are you ever going to let this down? I mean,
life is short, man. Get out while you can.
I mean, I have nightmares about the Tribune, and I moved on. I'm not signing autographs at the Tribune, for God's sakes.
You came in here complaining about tennis elbow. How did you get tennis elbow?
I don't know, because I've never picked up a tennis racket in my life. Yeah. I play a little badminton now in China. I do play some ping pong, but never tennis. And I got tennis elbow. And then even my dentist says, I'm not an MD, so I can't diagnose you, but you got tennis elbow. I'm like, but how do I get this?
So you asked your dentist about your tennis elbow?
Well, I asked your doctor
about your molars?
Yeah, I did. I said, Doc, when you get down there, take a look at that. You know, but anyway, so.
Doc, my teeth are yellow. Wear a brown necktie.
Yeah. So, so I just asked him, and he said, I know you got tennis elbow. Very painful. You know, it is very painful. And, of course, you know, obviously, you know, we had to move a lot of cases during the 4th of July, and it had to get done whether I had 16-year-olds or I had nobody. So, obviously, when I left Fargo, North Dakota, needless to say, I, you know, because of lifting all them boxes and everything like that, you know. And, of course, now I go to the PGI and I meet some of my old friends back east, and you know, all them guys on the East Coast are bodybuilder thing. I don't know, it just comes from that East Coast thing, I guess, anyway, so I was talking to them, and he made a lot of sense. And you know, going to the gym and everything, I'm just watching other people and doing what they do, or just basically doing what I've known all my life. And he had mentioned when you weightlift, you should always keep your palms to your side, because that's the way you're meant to go. And then as you get halfway up, then you can turn your wrist and curl, you know. And now if I actually take my wrist like I used to and bend it this way to lift weights, this actually hurts me going like this. Where I can go like this, no problem. But when I go like this,
that hurts.
That actually hurts. So, and it only hurts not from this part. It actually hurts from
down there.
Down there. Once you get to a certain height, you don't, you know, you don't lose, you don't have that range of motion pain, you know. So anyways, and I know you met this guy last year. He's a very good customer of mine. You met him last year. He's got the real dark tan, older guy, but real built, from Detroit, you know. And so we're talking to him. I did not know he was an original. He was one of the Chippendales years ago. So
really?
You know, yeah, he's got the hair going. He's got the mullet going and everything like that. You know, of course, he was even bigger then, you know. But so, yeah, so he's giving me a lot of pointers. And he said, well, he said, you know, I don't even lift a lot of weights. I hold a lot of weights. He says, just holding weights gives you the same benefit without blowing out your joints. You get older, you blow out your joints trying to do all this stuff, and you get hurt. So I learned a few topics from him about weightlifting and, you know, why I got this tennis elbow. And, you know, my thing was, well, I wish you would have told me sooner. You know, because, you know, once the joint's gone, now you tell me.
Yeah,
you know,
I wish we could have this conversation.
Yeah, last year at PGI would have been better than this year. But anyways, I'm going out to see him in Detroit. We're going to go on a nice boat ride.
Nice.
And he's got a big boat, so we're going to go on a little boat ride, give him some product. And, so it'll be kind of fun time. So hopefully this tennis elbow gets better, because it's just driving me crazy.
Well, yeah. It's been another good one.
Yes, it has been.
NFA is when? September what?
NFA is September 8th.
All right. I will be there.
Okay,
That's actually coming up really
soon. Yeah, it's real soon. The whole summer is flying by, which puts me into that more depression mode.
Yeah, but then you get to go to China.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to China. I leave October 4th for China, and then I'll be back for a couple of weeks, and then off to
Hawaii.
Cabo. And then, I got all kinds of things planned for the wintertime, you know. So, but... Unfortunately, though, the sad part is I don't have a car here anymore for winter. I don't have clothes for winter. I don't have sweaters. I psychologically got rid of everything so I can just go.
Yeah, but I remember talking to you, and I remember vividly. We were at a bar here in Chicago on, like, Lake Street in, was it Bensonville or whatever. Remember that place? Bensonville and Lake Street, like by 83.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying your goal was to, like, never be here during the winter.
Yes.
Your goal was to just to come here in the summertime and then be gone for the winter. And this is when you would wake up at 3 a.m. and deliver newspapers.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
So you're this much close. You're right there. You get the house done.
I'm getting there. I'm very close. I'm finally reaching the goal. And then and then who knows? After that, I just become Caitlin. I do not think Caitlin will be invited to the housewarming party. I'm sorry.
No. Yes, please. No.
You know, now Bruce was on the guest list along with a couple of them Kardashians, but now Caitlin is not is not coming.
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame
you.
Like I said, I don't like aftermarket parts on my stereo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have a hard time putting on aftermarket brakes.
I could not imagine.
No,
I mean,
that's a shame.
All right. Well, that's enough.
All righty. And once again, we didn't announce who we are. We are John and Ron from the Fireworks Brigade. Yeah, but well, you guys all know that by now.
Yeah.
Listeners have been, you know, they've been struggling to listen to the last episode. But these episodes are fun. And also a little bit of, we did a lot more pyro than I thought we were going to do.
Well, yeah, I had our little schedule there. We've been saving up since July 3rd or whatever it is. And I actually think I got our buddy Charlie Harper in on the close here, and he talks about who we are and stuff. But we should probably talk about who we are in the beginning.
That's what we're supposed to do.
So, but until NFA, and NFA that month in September, we'll probably do at least two or three.
Two podcasts,
NFA, if we're going to go all the way down there. Remember, I do at least three.
I would probably do three.
Because
October is going to be gone. We'll have to do some maybe.
Well, we'll do two, and then we'll just play one in October.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Later.
Have a good one.
John and Ron, they know fireworks. They've seen it all, from Fargo to LaGrange, and everywhere in between. If you want to get in touch with the show, log on to fireworksbrigade.com.